Hey, everybody. Before you get into today's podcast, I want to tell you about Blue Wire Hustle. It's a brand new program where you can host your own podcast at Blue Wire. You can be just like me. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Now, it might not get to dropping the gloves level. Might be better. I don't know. Now, here's your chance. As a part of the program, you receive a personal cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. So many tips and tricks. And on top of that, we'll help you get your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher. I don't even know what Stitcher is, but we will get your stuff pushed out there. And the best part is, it's only 15 bucks a month. We pay 15 bucks a month for Blue Wire to do this. So you're going to get the same deal as I do. It's unbelievable. So whether you're just starting from scratch or you have an existing show that you want to grow, Hustle is an open door to level up your sports experience. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/bluewire. Acceptance is limited. They're not just going to take everybody. So you got to have a good idea or a good podcast. So get in there. Check out the description box to find out more. That's bwhustle.com/join. All right, welcome to Dropping the Gloves, everybody. We got a special episode. Now, I don't usually do interviews. I actually despise them. But when I know a guy's got a good personality, he's got a good head of hair on him, and he's just showing the floor right now, I got to get him on the show. So, Tyler Myers, thanks for joining us. How you doing, Mizey?
Good. Good to see you again, Johnny.
The big guy. Now, first question, have you ever – played with someone who has been taller than you other than me?
No. No. And are you taller than me?
Stop it.
Pretty sure I got you by a half inch at least.
Do we need to restart the show? There's not a chance you're taller than me. Unbelievable. I got you by like an inch and a half and by like 60 pounds. What are you, like 220?
Well, I'll give you the weight, but not the height.
How tall are you?
It's right at 6'8", I think.
I'm 6'8 and a half. So I have you by a half an inch. So how you doing, my friend? Long time no see. What's going on?
Not too much. Just getting ready for the year to finally get going. It's nice to, you know, kind of jump back into a little bit of a normal schedule, even though, you know, we don't have normal fan base right now. But it's good to get back going after what's gone on the last 8 months.
Yeah, what's the vibe like in the room? So when you skate, is it the whole team or is it just a group of you guys? How's that working?
Right now, it's just the, you know, we call it the local group. So it's all the guys who have been based in BC that didn't have to quarantine, or guys who have already come into town and finished their quarantine. So we got about, you know, there's 8 or 9 of us, and then there's 2 other groups of, you know, guys who came in just from other parts of Canada, and then guys who have come in from the States and Europe who have to serve a 14-day quarantine before camp gets going.
Nice. So what do you think? You guys finished the season strong. You got such a young team. Well, what's the goals this year? What are you guys working on?
You know, obviously the goal is the same for every team jumping into each season, but you know, with as young of a team as we have, I think the experience that we got last year and for those guys to experience some playoff hockey this summer, you know, I think that in itself would, you know, will, you know, take those guys to another level. You know, our young guys are the drivers of our team. You look at the guys that we have, they're, you know, they're our best players. So, you know, they're not just good on the ice. They're really good kids off the ice. They're a lot of fun to hang around. And, you know, we have a really good room. And I think the guys, you know, if you look at our season last year, we really got to know our system that much better by the end. So I think with a lot of the same guys coming back this season, we should be able to, you know, be a little bit further along than we were to start the year last year with that stuff.
So Tyler, we teased out a few hours ago that we were going to be interviewing you tonight and wanted to see what questions the fans had. And the first one actually throws it back way back to your juniors days in Kelowna. You played 4 years there, right? And you've had some pretty good NHL defensemen have come out of that system, like Edler, Shea Weber, Duncan Keith. Talk a little bit about just, you know, what your time was like there and how you kind of helped you develop your game.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the Kelowna Rocket history, there's, you know, they seem to, you know, breed defensemen. Edler was actually my, I got called up as, during my underage year, and he was actually my D partner for the 2 months that I spent at the end of that year. So we had a little bit of experience before I got to Vancouver. And then, you know, of course, you look at guys like Shea Weber and Duncan Keith, like you mentioned, and Josh Georges, who had a great career. And, you know, I know I'm forgetting a lot of other names. But, you know, I said to our coaches, because we still keep in – our junior coaches, we still keep in touch over the years, and even the owner of the Rockets and Bruce Hamilton, like – I spent my first few years in Buffalo, and I would go back for the summer, and I would, you know, be talking to them, and, you know, it really was amazing to realize, you know, they run the ship like, you know, just like an NHL team would. And I think, that's what helps guys develop so well in Kelowna. I think that's why they have the reputation that they have. You know, I think you're as prepared as you can be, you know, trying to make that jump to pro hockey.
So here's my question, because this happened to me. I was a defenseman. I wasn't overly tough. What the WHL is known as, like a fighting league, right? That's what it's known for. It's called the jungle. When I got drafted into the OHL, everyone's like, oh my gosh, wait till you know, at least you're not in the WHL. Did you ever get pressured? You're a big guy. Apparently you're bigger than I am. That's what I've heard. Did you ever get pressure to like fight? Like you're a big dude, use your range. Like, let's go. This could be an asset to your game.
I never did. I never felt pressure to fight. I think it was a little bit more of a jungle, you know, the 30 years, before I played, you know, back when you were a junior. but, you know, so when I got there, it was a bit more of a skating league, and I think that's what I just tried to use.
No, there had to be tough guys when you were there. Stop it. Because I'm not that much older, am I? I don't even know.
No, but like,
because when I was growing up, when I came into the league, everybody tough came out of the dub. Like, it was Wade Bielak, yeah, no, it was Steve McIntyre, Boog Bogard.
Yeah, the boogeyman, he was scary. I played against his brother, who Aaron, was just as tough. And I'm blanking on what team he was on, but if I remember, he was the last real tough guy when I jumped into the WHL. That generation before me, like, Shea Weber, Josh Georges, Blake Como, Alex Edler, that team that those guys run, the 3 or 4 years that they played, I think it definitely was a bit of a tougher league than when I jumped in. And then by the time I left, it definitely was drifting, you know, out of the game a little bit.
Yeah, it's funny because we did a little poll, and it was with our fans. We're like, who would be the best player in a pickup hockey game? You know, out of anybody in the NHL, and I picked you. I was like, no contact, Tyler Myers can use his speed, use his body. You could never take the puck off of him. And I was just thinking, like, I wonder if Mizey had ever been asked along the way to, like, get mean. Because you're not a mean guy, you know?
Yeah.
You're a respectful player. It's never been a part of your game. No coach has ever pressured you. Because coaches all the time be like, you got to be a prick out there, John. If you want to make it, you got to be a prick. Maybe I just wasn't as skilled as you were.
Well, you definitely weren't that.
Tim, mute yourself.
I think I've had coaches and peers, you know, encourage me to play physical, but I never got that you got to fight, pressure. I never experienced that. And I think, you know, looking back, I've developed more of a physicality in my game as my career has gone on. And, looking back, I probably could have been pressured a little bit more to just, you know, play a little bit meaner when I was younger. You know, I've had to learn that, myself, just because, you know, like you said, I'm a big guy, but, you know, I'm a bit of a gentle giant. And, the last couple of years, I've really tried to, you know, add that part to my game, to become more of a complete player. But yeah, the pressure to fight, I never really got that. And I can't really tell you exactly why,
Well, I can tell you why. It's because you're probably putting up a point a game and you don't need to fight. I wasn't a good hockey player, but if your coach, who's your coach now in Vancouver?
Travis Green.
Travis wants me to come out and work with you guys, specifically you, I will.
I'll let him know that for sure.
For an amount, you know, we'll have to discuss that. My services are pretty unique. I train guys only 6'8" and higher, and we just that's all we do. But I'd love to come out to Vancouver. It'd be great. But no, anyways, I think it's interesting. I'm glad you didn't go that route because you're such a fun guy to watch out there. It really is a pleasure. Yeah, you're welcome, Tyler.
So Tyler, you were drafted first round, 12th overall, and the Sabres actually traded up to get you from the Kings, which must have felt pretty nice. And you joined the team when that kind of old core was really in their prime with Derek Roy and Pominville, Vanek. Tim Connolly putting up some big numbers. I think you guys won like 45 games that year. What was it like to kind of come into a crew that was just so good, and how did they help you kind of adjust to the NHL right away?
Well, the guys were great. We had a really good room. I think as a, you know, I was only 19 years old. I was a little, not a little, I was quite oblivious to, you know, just everything around me. And, you know, I was just so happy to be a part of the NHL. And, you never think about line combos. I didn't even know there were line combinations when I jumped in. I was just happy to be there. You know, we're winning games. I was like, oh, this is great. This must happen every team must be this exciting. And then, you know, you go through some tough years a few years later and you realize, it's not always going to be, you know, glamorous. So, you got to really put in the work every year.
Yeah, I mean, you put up 48 points that year and you won the Calder Trophy. I mean, how did it all kind of come together so well your rookie year?
I had with coaches like Lindy and James Patrick, they let me play freely, like you said, with all those guys that we had a really good team. We had a complete team. I thought we underachieved in the playoffs that year, but, you list off all those guys from my rookie year. We had a pretty special group, and, I won't get into too much of it, but, I wish they would have kept a lot of those guys around a little bit longer. You rattle off those names we had my rookie year, not just, the top three or four big names. We had some really, really good depth players. Clark MacArthur, Paul Gostad, Dan Paille, those guys, are off the top of my head right now. But we had a lot of really good players. And, I think, having as good of a team that we did made the adjustment that much easier for me.
Yeah, sure. And then I wanted to ask about, you've had a couple of scuffles with the Bruins over the years, and I was watching some highlights on video earlier. One with Chara, who took exception to a hit you laid on Carlson Kuhlman. And was there any part of you that thought you might tussle with him, or there's no chance in heck you guys were going to get to drop the gloves together?
Well, I mean, like, that's what we just kind of talked about. Like, the hit that led to that little scuffle, that's kind of something that, I was focusing on last year to try and get more physical as a bigger guy and to kind of add more of that element to my game. And then, you see Big Z coming over after the hit and you're like, okay, we're,
we're in it. So, you know, you just have to, you know, those times come around and you just have to accept it and jump into it. And, you know, I found out pretty quick the first, the first couple seconds, and it didn't last long, but the first couple seconds, you know, you really feel how strong the big guy is.
He didn't jump in when I buried Louis Erickson center iced him. We'll just say that. He had his chance. He just let McQuaid come after me. I'll just leave it at that. Big Z, the joke.
One guy you did fight, Tyler, was Bergeron, who's not a guy who drops the gloves very often. How did that happen?
Yeah, you know what? I remember the fight. It was in Boston. I can't remember how it started. One of us did something to the other, and the other guy got pissed off and turned into a shoving match, I think. And then we ended up just dropping the gloves right away. So, yeah, that was a bit of a strange one, but, you know, a lot of respect for that guy. It's just funny that we got into a fight.
It is. Yeah. And then obviously John Scott comes in 2012. How did that kind of...
And just ruins the team. They were so good before. All that depth.
Yeah. I mean, how did that change, like, especially, you know, you being a skill guy, knowing that you kind of had some toughness and size to take that kind of weight off your shoulders?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Johnny, we never really talked about it, but, like... you know, having you on the team and being able to, you know, see how you handled those situations, because you got into them a lot. You know, us being very similar in height, you know, that's probably the starting point of how I tried to, you know, really watch how you handled it and see if I can, you know, start incorporating a little bit of that at least into my game.
Yeah, I didn't fight much. I figured... when I did fight, I would really try to work someone over so I didn't have to fight. That was my thing. I didn't enjoy it. It's not something I went out looking for. So
yeah,
first couple of fights of the year, I'd really try to beat someone up. Then I would just try to coast after that and just play the game. But now it was a bad year. Our first year in Buffalo, you know, it was a tough start. They shipped everybody out. And then I think Patty LaFontaine came in and then he left. Rolston got fired. Teddy Nolan came in. I think he might have got fired. It was just a mess of a year. And we had Stanley Cup aspirations.
That's what makes it tough, too, is like when you have that much turnover, I thought that made it a lot harder for us to try and turn it around. It seemed like guys were, you know, not just guys on the team, you know, management positions and coaches were, you know, we were flip-flopping those positions. You know, it seemed like every few months. So I thought that made it tough.
Yeah.
So, and then you're part of a huge blockbuster trade to Winnipeg that sends you and Drew Stafford and Brendan Lemieux out to Winnipeg. And then you got the Evander Kane coming back along with some other players. What was that kind of like? Did that take you like totally by surprise? What were your expectations heading over to Winnipeg?
The trade wasn't surprising. I just hadn't heard anything about Winnipeg. That was the surprising part.
Who did you hear? What teams did you think were in on you?
I mean, I have no idea if there's any credibility to these rumors, but, you know, I was hearing Anaheim, Detroit, I think L.A., I think there were a couple others I can't remember, but I never heard Winnipeg. Yeah, they were never. I never heard them as a rumor.
Dropping the gloves. 2020 has already reshaped how we work, and it's almost over. Thank goodness. Businesses across the globe are challenged to be their most efficient, which means every hire is critical. Indeed is here to help. Indeed is the number one job site in the world with more total visits than any other job site. Indeed helps you find quality candidates quickly so you can focus on hiring that person that you need to keep your business going. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment over your hiring, and you only pay for what you need, and you can pause at any time. There are no long-term contracts. And now, Indeed's new way of matching you with candidates instantly delivers a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria. And you can contact them the moment you sponsor a job, making Indeed the only job site that can move as fast as you do. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job posts, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. This is only for our show. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer is valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply. The NBA is back in action, and football is heading into the playoffs. Bills, baby. First place, AFC champions. Suck on that one, Belichick. You might not be at a game this year, but you can be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season-opening bonuses today. Start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, they are your online sportsbook experts.
And then you played quite a bit with Big Buff there, who's obviously a super talented guy. And I'm kind of curious with him having a pretty unique playing style and how quickly he gets up and down the ice, especially for a guy his size. Like, as his D partner, do you have to play a little bit differently, or the coach is kind of giving you tips on how to be his D partner that you have to adjust your game a little bit?
I don't think so. You know, you talk about a naturally gifted, you know, hockey player. This guy was unbelievable. he didn't have to do much to be the strongest guy in the room, to be, you know, to be able to move the way he did on the ice at his size. I mean, you know, look at him in the room. He looks like a, you know, offensive lineman. So it's just, he was defying the odds all the time. But, when Buff was really on his game, a lot of people looked at him as this rover who was just kind of all over the place. But, you know, when Buff was really at the top of his game, if you ISO cammed him and you really watched him, yeah, he was, you know, it seemed like he was all over the place, but he was never out of position. He was always in defensive position, allowing himself to defend properly. I can understand how people would think he's kind of playing both forward and D, but
yeah, you know, I feel like if you take that, you're like him. I think you guys are very similar. You know what I mean? And I played with you. I played with Buff in the summer. We trained together. I played with Brent Burns for quite a while. I think you three guys are so similar where it's like, if you take that out of your game, you're not good.
Exactly. I think it's what makes, you know, those guys as good as they are is the way that they are able to be all over the ice.
Yeah.
I was just more like, when Buff was, you know, being the best version of Buff, he would do that and, you know, people would see that, but it'd be hard to notice how good he was defensively too. So, you know, I don't think he got enough credit in terms of that. And then you obviously add in, you know, how hard he hit guys. It was just, it was a lot of fun playing with him.
I've never tried to hit someone harder than I tried to hit Buff, and he just didn't even move. Like, just I would come firing out at the blue line and just try to bury him, and he would just laugh at me. Like, Johnny, get out of here. Like, beat it. How fun was it to watch him just destroy guys every single night? Like, he would take people's souls with their hits. Like, yeah. Would he do it in practice to guys who would get out of hand?
No, never.
Just Barry Shifley because he was scoring too many goals.
you would have to get Buff really mad for him to start hitting guys in practice. But, like the one hit that comes to mind is the Mark Stone hit.
Playoffs?
I don't think it was in playoffs because it was, he was still in Ottawa at the time.
Okay.
And Buff...
I think Buff had fallen down behind the play. So he was like laying on the ice in our D zone, and the play had moved to our offensive zone, and they got the puck, and Mark got a pass flying down the boards along our penalty box at home. And Buff was now skating out of the D zone. So they were,
towards
you know, it was a head on collision, but Mark had no idea that Buff was still down there. Yeah. And it's kind of funny because, you know, Buff's such a character. You can hear him. He's trying to warn Mark as he's skating. He's like, get your head up, get your head up.
No way, really?
He's trying to let him know he's coming, but he's not going to let up on the hit.
Yeah.
He's just letting him know he's there. And then, you know, it happened so fast, he didn't see him. And I think it was the biggest hit I've ever seen. It was kind of scary.
The best part is afterwards, didn't like three auto guys come towards him and he just like dummies them all? That's what I love about those big hits. He's like, someone's going to come and take care of Buff. And he's probably the toughest guy in the league. You know what I mean? Like, he's so strong.
Yeah, like he doesn't even have to, you know, throw a bomb in a fight. He's just so strong. He'll end it right away with just manhandling you.
Yeah. He's got man strength, and everybody's a man out there, and he still makes them look like little boys. Do you think he's going to play again? Like, I'm friends with Buff. I'm fairly close with him. Do you think he's coming back? I think he's done.
I do not think he's coming back.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, I do not think he's done. Oh, he slow played it. Oh, I was like, yes. Yeah, I think he's done too. Buff was a guy who liked hockey. He didn't love it. You know, he enjoyed playing it with the boys, having a couple drinks. He didn't love the business of it. So I don't think he's coming back, which is sad because he was, when he was on, man, he was one of the most funnest guys to watch.
Yeah, no. He really was. He was one of the most polarizing NHLers ever, I think.
Yeah, without a doubt. Did you guys feel like you didn't win a cup? You should have won a cup in Winnipeg. You had the team there. I picked you guys two straight years.
I thought we had the team to do it for sure. That the year that we went pretty far and we lost against Vegas, that was a tough loss. I thought, you know, game four, I think, was the turning point for them because, you know, I think Fleury stole game four for them. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, ultimately, I think, for that reason, that stole the series for him. You know, I think if we, because we were all over them in game four.
You were dominating, yeah.
Yeah, and that was, they were up 2-1, so we needed that win to tie the series. And I think if that series was 2-2 going in back home, it would have been a different outcome. But, you know, that one hurt for sure. And then the next year, you know, we obviously underachieved. You know, we ran into, you know, the team we lost to ended up winning the cup that year. So,
yeah,
that just goes to show you this league is so close. And, you know, like any team can win on any given night.
Yeah, well, exactly. This last playoff, something like Colorado's going to walk to the cup. You know what I mean? It's all over.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it just doesn't happen. So you become a free agent the first time in your career, right?
Yep. Yep.
So why Vancouver? What was the draw there? Did you, I'm sure you had dozens of offers. Like, it's not often a 6'8" guy who can move the puck and skate like the wind comes on the market. So why Vancouver?
Well, you know, like for obvious reasons, it's close to home.
Yeah.
You know, it's, we have a lot of family, you know, it's Western Canada. We have a lot of family around, and my wife is so close to home. It's really good for her and our son. You know, on top of that, it's a great city. You know, as you know, like all the guys in the league love to come and play on the road in Vancouver. And then, you know, I really liked, you know, that aside, you know, when you get into the hockey part, I really liked the young core that we have. And, you know, it confirmed what I thought about the young core pretty quick into when I got here. You know, you look at guys like, you know, Quinn and Petey and Bess and, you know, I know I'm missing some guys, but, you know, I really like our young guys. And I think, if, you know, I said before, but I think the experience we had this past year will only help them take a step. And, you know, for us guys who've been around a little bit, you know, we'll help them out as much as we can, because, you know, they're our drivers, you know, like I said.
Is Brock Besser the most handsome man in the NHL?
You know, you've obviously seen the Prince Charming comparisons.
I have not. I skated with him in the summer for a few years when he was in high school. He would come out. There was this kid with the cage on just lighting a lamp, and then he would take his bucket off, and I'd be like, this is not fair. Like, he's absolutely gorgeous. Like, he's one of those guys who just, like, I'm straight, but when he walks into a room, I'm like, you know what? Not might maybe. I have to like question myself real quick. I'm like, no. I got six kids. I'm straight. But he's just, you know, he's just a handsome dude. So that being said, what you guys got, I think, out of all the new formats, the teams and the divisions, you guys got the short end of the straw, I think. I feel like if you're in the Western Division, you walk away with it. There's a lot of duds in California who aren't going to compete. You guys were hitting your groove. You can compete with, you know, the other team in that division. Now you're stuck in the Canadian Division. I still think you're one of the primo teams, but you got to travel, and it's insane. Have they given you any indication on how they're going to do these games? Like, are you going to do 10 games out east and come back, or what's that going to look like?
You know what? I was just looking at our schedule for the first time today. It's going to be very much like baseball style.
Okay.
So yeah, we'll play, you know, I don't think we'll be gone more than, you know, 10 days at a time, but, you know, we'll also be home for a while. You know, we might have two teams come in and we play, you know, we play a total of six games against those two teams. So, you know, I think that's how they'll limit the travel. We'll travel, we'll play a few games, and then we'll go somewhere else. So, you know what? This format was actually suggested by, I think, Johnny Taves a couple of years ago, going to more of a baseball format to try and save energy and you'd be able to continue back-to-backs. With more energy because you're not traveling after the first game. So yeah, we'll see how it goes. I'm more just happy to jump kind of back into a normal annual schedule. Hopefully, you know, next season starts, or, you know, around the same time as you know, it usually does.
Stings the pocketbook a little bit too. Oof, 20%, 30%, Micey, ouch. Owie, whammy, as we would like to say. So are you looking forward to any rivalries? Who do you got your number on that you're really going to try to work on this year? Because you're playing every team 7 years. Let's stir up some controversies. Did you just say you're going to try to take out Tkachuk or McDavid? Just end their career.
You know, like you had just mentioned, I think the Canadian division is extremely competitive. You know, I think all the Canadian teams, you know, even when you look at Ottawa, who didn't have a very good, you know, standings year last year, you know, you talk to guys around the league, they were tough to play against, you know, but there's a lot of good Canadian teams. And I think, you know, each team is going to be in real tough to make playoffs this year. We, you know, a hot start is definitely going to help. In terms of rivalry, you know, it's hard to talk about a Flame or an Oiler because they have such a heated Battle of Alberta rivalry. So
do you feel a little personal animosity with Winnipeg when you go there, or is that just water under the bridge?
No, I was close to all those guys. I don't, you know, of course I'd like to beat them, don't have any hard feelings for the organization or anything like that. But, you know, I think when Seattle comes into play, I think that could turn into a big rivalry with Vancouver.
That would be nice, a little geographical. I just remembered, is Louis Erickson on your team still?
He is, yeah.
Can you tell him I apologize again? You know, I still feel bad. I don't feel bad. I'm just being teasing.
Louis's the nicest guy in the world.
I'm good. I'm glad he's doing well because I thought I would really ended his career. But anyways, anything else, Tim, you want to ask Mr. Myers?
I got two more quick questions, Tyler, then I'll throw it back to John to close it out. Who has been the favorite D partner of your NHL career?
Ooh.
Oh.
You've got some good ones, Mizey. Wow.
Yeah. I have to give a shout out to my first D partner. It was Hank Talinder. He was unreal.
He was good.
Yeah. And, you know, typical Swede, could skate like the wind, really good puck mover. And he was a veteran when I came in as a 19-year-old, and he was awesome to have, to kind of help me along the way as a D partner, to start my career. But a lot of other good, really good ones, Alex being one of them, Toby Enstrom. These are all Swedes. Weird,
That is funny. Who's your partner now?
Up in the air. I played with a whole bunch of different guys last year, just along with all the other guys. So I'm sure we'll flip flop around again this year. I played a lot with Fantenberg last year, another Swede. Really enjoyed playing with him. Benny Sherratt was a great D partner.
Yeah, he's a good player.
We were partnered together. A lot for that cup run we had in Winnipeg. So, I've been pretty lucky. I've had a lot of good D partners.
All right. Last question is, who do you think is the most underrated teammate you've ever had?
Present company excluded.
That's a good question.
Good one, Tim.
Oh, thank
one
you.
For 10. One for 10.
I'm trying to think here. Underrated teammate.
Fans love this.
Yeah, this is tough. Oh my god.
It's too hard of a question. It really is. I hate when people ask questions like this where you have to think.
Yeah.
Because you go through all the rosters, you're like, who's underrated?
Who did you say, John, when I asked you?
Jeez, I can't even put a name in my head right now.
I said Marian Hossa from Buffalo. I would say Jason Palmaville was underrated. He was such a good player and he never got his due. But
yeah, I mean, I had, maybe that's why I had Palmer, higher than a guy that you maybe overlooked. But yeah, you're probably right. He probably didn't get the recognition that he deserved.
Where he was like a top five guy in my eyes for years, and everyone just kind of overlooked him because he was in Buffalo. But yeah, there's so many guys who should have gotten a little more. Yeah, Marian Hossa, I still think, was the most underrated player ever. I thought he was a superstar, and he never got treated like it. But anyways, yeah. All right, Mizey. Well, I don't want to keep you anymore. I'm sure you got to go measure how tall you are and look yourself in the mirror and say, I'm taller than John. I get it. Hey, you're not taller than I am, okay? Like, let's just put that to bed right now.
I might have to go measure myself and send it to you and see what we got.
You're going
to
be 6'8", and I'm 6'8 and a half. 6'8 and three quarters, maybe 6'9".
Well, you don't have big Z.
No, 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 no. No, I don't. But I'm heavier than he is.
I think Big Z's hit. I think he hit the 6'9" mark.
He's 6'9". I'm 6'8 and a half, three quarters, and you're 6'8". What do you, honestly though, when you jump on the scale, 223 pounds. That's what you are.
Wow. That's impressive, Johnny.
Are you?
Pretty close. I would say, I've put on a little bit more since we played, but I'm anywhere from 225 to 230.
That's a good weight for you. That's a good one. You got to move around. Yeah. I was 265. I just feel like that's the difference between our game.
I remember you could do more pull-ups than me, though.
Well, I only had to do two, so not hard to be one, Mizey.
That's so true.
It's the long levers, you guys. Let's get on. In college, you're like, we're going to do the bench press. You got to bench your weight. My first 3 years, I'm like, I'm not even going to do this. I can't even put up 185, not let alone 250. Like, what am I even doing here? My senior year, like, bounced it off my chest and caved it in. Got one. But it's like, we don't need the bench press. We squat like animals, and we can, we hold our own.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, big boy. Well, thank you for doing this. I really appreciate it. Good luck this year. We'll be in touch. Thanks, we'll probably reach out again and maybe get you on the show. This was a blast, my friend.
Sounds good. Good to see you again, Johnny. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, you too. Say hi to the wife for me.
Will do. Say hi to the family.
See ya. That was great. Tyler Myers. I am blown away.
That was one of the better interviews we've ever had, I think.
I like that guy. You know what? What did I tell you? Honest, good answers, you know, charming. He's just a good dude.
And you know what? Like, he's such a good player, but he doesn't get asked to do stuff like this all the time. So you're hearing some stories and opinions that you haven't heard before, too.
Yeah, there was a couple things where I was like, really? Is, you know, the teams that were pursuing him? What, Tim?
Well, did you catch his little line about Buffalo, about not wanting to get into it? But
yeah.
This is like the fourth or fifth player we've had who's been on that team. Gerby said something. Ryan Miller, obviously. We had at least one other that are kind of like, well.
It's funny how the GM ruins something. You know, yeah. They had a good coach in Lindy Ruff. The GM just ruins it. And it's like, it really is too bad. Darcy Regier, he did a lot of good things, but obviously he messed things up with Jason Roy. And, gosh, who was the other guy you let walk? Drury.
Derek Roy, Drury.
Derek Roy and Briere and Drury.
Ryan Campbell.
Well, it wasn't Campbell, but there was some things that happened where he offered a contract to Drury and Roy, and they signed it, and they sent it back to Buffalo, and Buffalo just sat on it for a few months, didn't sign the contract. The season went on, and they were destroying the season, and the players were like, you know what, rip that contract up, we're done. And they went on to sign big deals in other places. Waugh went somewhere, and Briere went to Philadelphia, I think. So that is what I think everyone is insinuating about, where they could have had this powerhouse team for years and years and years, but they didn't do it. Like, the GM messed it up. So it is funny. Every guy we talked to in Buffalo who was on that team were like, you know what? It could have been really, really good. But, and then they just stop. It's interesting. But no, good interview. I like that. Tyler Myers coming out of nowhere.
You should have him again for sure.
We'll get him on midway through the season. I think that'd be nice to kind of get a check in, see how he's doing, see how the travel's doing, if it's working out. I didn't know the schedule got released.
I didn't either. I wonder if it's only for him. Like, they haven't released it publicly yet.
Yeah, my guy Johnny T, friend of the show.
Is there any chance he's even the same height as you, let alone taller?
He's not taller. He's shorter, 100%.
So he's definitely not even equal with you?
No, he's 6'8". I'm 6'8¾".
I thought he was like 6'7". You're 6'8".
I thought he was 6'7" as well. I think 6'8" is, you know, tippy-toeing it.
Yeah.
But no, I'm 6'8¾", Tim. Thank you very much. I am. Cross my heart. Hope to die. Stick a needle in my eye. Do it right now. But anyways, thank you, Tyler Myers, again for coming on. Thank you, Tim, for being so prepared. Tim, we message back and forth on Zoom, and he's like, Tyler's getting bored. You have to start asking questions.
You're always like, I got nothing. You got the next one.
I didn't think he was getting bored. I thought it was good questions.
Yeah, I just don't know him like you do.
Well, I don't know. It's funny to pick up right where you left off, because honestly, the last time I talked to that guy was probably 5-6 years ago. Like, actually have a conversation with him, because he gets traded. We see him along the way, and I, you know, talk to him before the game, chit chat in warm-ups. That's about it. And then he comes on the show and he's great, you know, and you just jump right back into it. So it just goes to show you, hockey players are the best. Most of them, there's some duds out there, but for the most part, everybody's really good. And I'm not going to steer you wrong, listeners, fans of the show. I'm not going to get a guy on here who's an absolute dud. You know, I'm not going to get someone on just for the namesake. I'm not going to go out there and get a big name and just have a dud of an interview. We had a guy do an interview and we didn't even air it because I didn't like it. I said, I'm not releasing this. Right, Tim?
Yes. Yes, we did.
We're still sitting on that one. I don't even like the interview, so I'm not going to release it. It was just a bust, a complete bust. And he's a well-known player.
I don't think I even have it anymore. It's gone.
I think everybody in North America would know this name without a doubt. He played for a decade, won a Stanley Cup.
And it's very, very just
polarizing
headlines. Yeah.
Yeah. It would have made headlines, but I just like, no, not going to do it. Anyways, Tim, you look tired. You look like you need some rest.
It's been a long day.
Yeah. I hear you. What are you going to do tomorrow? You got the week off.
Yeah, I got tomorrow's going to be a lot of chores. I got to go to the bank. I got to get my car fixed. I got a whole bunch of stuff I'm going to try to knock off my to-do list tomorrow.
Gotta fix that door handle?
Yeah, that's one of the things I'm going to get looked at.
You got to just buy a new car.
Upgrade. I need new tires too.
Ooh. That's going to set you back around 500 bones.
At least.
Yeah, I just put new tires on my wife's car. It's so annoying. Then they're like, you need new brakes. I think I'm not putting brakes on. Should be fine. Should be fine. Coast to a stop, honey. You know, we got six kids. We got to be smart with our spending. But anyways, call me tomorrow, Tim. We'll do some.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good. Want to get lunch?
Can we?
No, I'm busy. But yeah,
you're so mean to me. All right, everybody, have a good weekend. We will have a good New Year's. This is our last episode before the New Year's.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
All right, have a good New Year's. Be responsible. Drink safe. Tim, how many kisses have you had at New Year's? The ball drop.
I don't know. Too many. Not enough.
Too many to count. Not enough. I remember when I was a kid, it was like the big thing. It's like, we got to kiss someone at New Year's. I think I did it once, maybe. You know, and it was just such a, it's so funny how it's such a thing when you're in high school, you're like panicking about it. And then you just, it never comes to fruition. It's just like, this stinks. I spent like the last 3 hours trying to kiss someone at midnight and it didn't even happen. You know, it's ruined my whole night. This is lame.
I'm going to bed.
This stinks. Oh, but it's funny. But anyways, happy New Year's, everybody. Hope everyone's doing well. We will see you in the new year. Cheers.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. Make sure you're following the show on Twitter at @dropping_gloves for episode highlights, behind the scenes content, sneak peeks, and giveaways. Check out johnscottallstar.com/shop for merchandise including t-shirts, hats, hoodies, and so much more. And please, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts. It's so important to helping us grow so we can keep delivering the hockey content and interviews with the players you love. Thanks, and see you next time.